With regard to pre-employment screening, if someone, if an applicant wants to see the results, do you have to share them? Let's say I do a background check, and I don't like what I see, and so I don't offer them the position.
Okay.
And the applicant wants to see.
Yes, you do. Under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, almost any kind of background check at all is going to be subject to certain requirements. For example, you have to give the employee a disclosure of what are their rights under the Fair Credit Reporting Act with regard to the background screen, and you have to get their authorization to run that, and all that has to have some magic language in it. And then you run the background screen, and then you have to, if you are considering the possibility of taking a negative action, which would include turning them down, not accepting them as the candidate, or terminating them if you're doing this mid-employment, then or denying a promotion, you're required to give them a pre-adverse action notice in writing. And I think it has to be in writing, but that has information in it that you're required under the Fair Credit Reporting Act to give them. And part of that is providing them with a copy of, I think so. Am I crazy about that?
Well, first of all,
I know you have to tell them that you're going to do it, and you have to tell them, again, what their rights are under the Act. I know I've always given them a copy, but...
Do you use a third-party vendor to do this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
They should be compliant with all the Fair Credit Reporting Act requirements. I mean, you would want to make sure they are. That typically, when you hire someone like that, they have these letters that Connie's talking about. I mean, you need to make sure, but the good ones do this. But that everything she's saying is correct, but I'm just saying if you outsource it, they should be handling that for you. But
the Fair Credit Reporting Act, you're right, Susan. The Fair Credit Reporting Act governs when you're having a third party do these background checks.
If you do it yourself,
if you're getting
not.
Online and doing it yourself, then that doesn't come into place. But I would say that you can double check on the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and what is the name of the agency that enforces it? Anybody know off the top of your head? It's changed, but
I don't know. Yeah, I can't think of it right.
If you look up Fair Credit Reporting Act, you'll find it. But I think you have to give them a copy. I'm almost certain you do. And then so they have an opportunity to respond. And obviously they can't respond if they don't know what the record shows, right? So I think it would be obvious that they'd have to see it. So they can say, oh, no, that's my evil twin. He stole my Social Security number and he has my face, so that's really not me. Or, you know, they might say, well, yes, but, you know, I wrote a hot check, but my ex had emptied my account and hadn't told me and blah, blah, blah. So you can hear their side of the story and decide what impact that has on your decision. You don't have to accept it or not, but you do have to give them the opportunity to respond. And then if you still decide you're going to take an adverse action, then you have to give them a notice of the adverse action, which basically says that part of the reason that we're rejecting your application or you're not getting the promotion is because of the information that was provided through the criminal background check or the background check. And then you have to have the magic language in there again about their rights under the Act. And so there is a process that you do have to go through. And I would say if you're going through a third party, you do have to provide it, because now that makes sense, because I know you have to give them an opportunity to respond, and they couldn't possibly respond if you say, I'm not telling you what was in the background check. So. The lasagna must be really good. Yes. Yay. Thank you. Because this isn't awkward at all.
I was looking through an old employee file to try to figure something out about somebody who had terminated recently.
You hypothetically were looking through.
I was hypothetically. Well, this is actually, I mean, it's so long ago that it doesn't apply anymore.
Okay.
But it's just something that was occurring to me as I was reading it. Mm-hmm. If you are unable to drive to work because you have some problem that's affecting your ability to drive into work, but you are perfectly capable of telecommuting, is telecommuting considered reasonable accommodation? And even though an office would have a requirement that people come into work, if they were able to telecommute, would that be reasonable accommodation?
It depends on the circumstances. Telecommuting is not absolutely a reasonable accommodation. It depends on the job and whether it's a whole reasonable accommodation analysis under the ADA. I mean, if they have a disability and that's why they can't drive to work. First of all, that's the question. Is it because of a disability? Secondly, is that a reasonable accommodation, or is it a job that the employer can prove it does require them to be in the office because they have team meetings, or they supervise somebody, or various reasons why the employer could justify that that would not be reasonable, but that would be the employer's burden to prove why it would not be reasonable.
Yeah, and you can always tell them, I looked at the bus schedule, and look, there's a bus only 5 blocks from you.
Yeah, that
what a coincidence. And you can walk drunk, so it's not going to be a problem. I'm being facetious, but I actually saw some cases that said that providing an accommodation for their commute may be required. And I was just like, I disagree. So I don't know. It wasn't any high court, but some courts have said that. It's like, that's just silly.